Hey, Garrett.
Yes, Parker.
Wouldn't this be a great world if insecurity and desperation made us more attractive, if needy were a turn-on?
Nah, I don't know. You know, believe in yourself. Just have self-confidence. Stop relying on others. Give yourself the love that you give to other people, and then you'll realize that you didn't need them all along.
You are lucky I don't have a stone in my hand right now.
Wow, that's not very needy behavior. And I'm independent.
That's a bold-faced lie. Welcome to the Bromance Podcast. That's two dudes talking about romantic comedies because love is real. Wait. Movies are dead and journalism's a lie? I think I said it backwards this time.
And Alzheimer's medication is in high demand.
I am becoming an old
You said person. It perfectly. You just doubted yourself.
No, I didn't. I know I said it backwards. I said love is real.
Oh, wow. Oh, fuck. Boca. Boca.
Shut up.
Boca.
Shut up.
Boca's growing. Boca's growing.
Shut up.
I'll let you be the one to dig into it, but Boca, you changed.
Shut up, Freud. You can't. You unzipped me. Don't you?
One of us hit the streets. The other one found his heart.
Oh my God! What movie are we talking about today?
What is it? Not the Newsroom. What's it called? Broadcast Journalism. Broadcast News. Broadcast Journalism. Broadcast 101.
I knew going in, or rather, I knew halfway through. I was like, Garrett's not going to connect with this one.
It's Broadcast News. No. I watched this movie and the results will shock you.
Okay. That's the, don't bury the lead. Elaborate.
Oh, I really liked it. I really, really like it.
Oh, thank God.
No, I really, really like it. Yeah.
It's like anytime it's not just, it's 2004 and Matthew McConaughey's down on his luck. Yeah. If it's any deeper than that, I worry at this point.
Well, the problem is like for, quote-unquote rom-coms, it's like some of these are great movies, but they're not really rom-coms. Like, it's just like it's a romantic dramatic movie that is very well made, but it's not a rom-com in the way of like Saw is technically a horror movie, but it's not really the same as like traditional horror.
Saw is definitely a horror movie.
Oh, it's horrific, but it's more like torture porn. Anyway, that's a different
category. That was later in the franchise. Saw 1 was not torture porn.
I just mean if you're like a fan of Saw, like if you watch Saw 5 and we're like, fuck, oof, yeah, this is horror, then like you're probably not going to resonate with Silence of the Lambs because like your version of it is just a much cheaper version.
Well, Silence of the Lambs is more thriller than horror.
Oh my God. Anyway.
Okay. So yeah, we did Broadcast News. This is one of my picks. My friend Carly, she was supposed to come on, but scheduling conflicts made her unavailable. Ironically, she probably would have been today. We had to move this episode repeatedly. But this movie came up constantly on lists like best rom-coms ever, best rom-coms ever. So I said, oh, I've never heard of this one. Let's watch it. Do you have any past experience with Broadcast?
No, it's completely not on my radar whatsoever. And for the first like 10 or 20 minutes, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like not in a bad way, but I was just like, oh, it's like a news movie. And like, I actually don't know. I knew some faces. Like I knew like the blonde douche guy. I was like, oh yeah, I've seen you in things. But like, you know, it was kind of nice not having it be, do you ever have that thing where it's like, you see Hugh Grant and all of a sudden you're like, oh fuck, it's Hugh Grant in this movie. Like that's Hugh Grant or that's Tom Hanks. It was nice being like, I couldn't name any of you. And so I believe you're who you are.
Wait, none of them? You knew Holly Hunter.
Okay. I didn't know Holly Hunter, but like, I didn't know almost anyone else by name.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny, the guy you're referring to as the douchey guy, William Hurt, he passed away a little recently. He passed away, actually, Jesus Christ, he passed away in last month.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, William Hurt passed away March 13th, 2022. We're recording this on April 5th, 2022. Less than a month ago, he passed away.
Fuck, RIP. How old was he?
He was 71 years old. Damn.
Damn, that's way too fucking young.
Yeah, When they pass away and they're younger than your parents, you're like, oh, geez.
Yeah, this is not good.
So, yeah, so this episode's dedicated to William Hurt, so now you have to say nice things.
Okay. Maybe not about his character, but about his acting as his character.
Yeah, and we'll get into his character. You know, this movie opens with, I can see why you said, what the fuck is this? It opens with three little vignettes of children. The first vignette, it's this kid who got a bunch of shit grades on his report card. But instead of his dad being like, what the fuck, the kid, I don't know, the kid, he's hard on himself, and I wasn't sure if it was manipulation or earnest, whatever. Kids Heart himself gets bad grades, but also the waitresses at the restaurant are like, oh, one day you'll have to beat them off with a stick. And then just like flashed at the bottom, future news anchor, right? Yeah. So he's like, he's dumb, but he's pretty. And he's hard on himself sometimes. Yeah, that's character one. Character two, and I didn't realize these were two separate people at first, but character two.
I didn't either. I was like, oh shit, he just fucking glowed up. He got himself a tutor and he's valedictorian.
Yeah, so I have the same thing, but no, it's a separate character. Yeah. So we cut to vignette number two of a 15-year-old, 16-year-old graduating high school hella early, and he's giving this very bitter high school graduation speech, which everyone daydreams about, but it's never a good idea. We could do I Love You, Beth Cooper, but A, it's the final season, and B, the movie sucked.
Fuck it then.
Yeah. So many reasons why not to, but that book was unfortunately impactful in middle school. Yeah. You know, you take somebody will watch like Sid and Nancy as a teenager and take the wrong message too. So it happens. Yeah. Anyway. He's valedictorian giving a speech like, fuck all you hoes. I'm a leave Jersey. Y'all ain't gonna do shit. I'm going to college at the age of 15. You all suck. And he's getting beaten up in the parking lot. And it cuts to like future news reporter.
I also just love in that scene, he tries to find things to hurt the bully's feelings. And it's like, you'll never leave your hometown. And they just keep beating his ass. He's like, you'll never make more than $18 an hour. And then like they beat his ass again and then leave. And after they're like, $18 an hour is actually not kind of bad. And it's just like their bar is so fucking low, even
it was insults. It was $18,000 a year, which is even worse. And I was like, and they were like,
that is true.
Yeah, it's like inflation aside, it's like that seems low. Whatever, that was probably taking place in like the 60s, but still. Yeah. So future news reporter. And then lastly, it's like a little girl who's busy typing away on her typewriter to one of her many pen pals past her bedtime. And her father's like, you're obsessed with this. And she goes out. She takes a beat, goes out to the living room where he walked back. He's like, obsessed means Webster defines obsessed as blah, 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 blah. I am not obsessed. I am blah, 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 blah. Please be more careful with your words. Future news producer. Flashes on the bottom. And these form the triangle, our main most important characters, Garrett. That first boy, bad grades, dumb, grows up to be an anchor, played by the late, great William Hurt. What's that name?
It's bad because my first instinct was to call him Will. Tom Hanks. It's Tom.
What does he have to do with Tom Hanks? Or that's just how you made a connection?
No, earlier we're talking about like when an actor shows up in a movie and you're like, holy shit, it's you.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Hanks in that whatever with that stupid Elvis Presley movie. I think it's Baz Luhrmann. I'm like, it's not out yet. It's coming.
Oh god.
It does not look good. All right, fine. The number two, valedictorian, too smart for his own good. He grows out to be a reporter. What's that name?
This one I don't know, and that's really fucked up because I don't even have a mind palace. I'm gonna go with like Aaron or no, it's not that. It's like Al. He looks like an Al. I'm going with Al.
Is that your final answer?
Albert. I'd like either Albert or Al. It's a shortening. Yes, that is my final answer.
Garrett.
Yeah.
His real name is Albert. His character's name is Aaron.
Oh, fuck.
Yep. Albert Brooks.
That can't be real.
Albert Brooks.
I don't know his real name. That was just an ass poll.
Yeah. Albert Brooks. He got nominated for Best Supporting Actor. This movie got like 7 Oscar nominations. Jesus. Yeah, he was also in Drive. But yeah, he got his character, Aaron Altman.
In Drive. He's the NASCAR guy. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the asshole in Drive. And it's ironic because, you know, his character would very much be the one who in real life people don't remember his name. Bless his heart. Yeah,
I didn't.
You know?
But I remembered both of his names, but I didn't know either one was correct.
Yeah. So what good does that do him? All right. And then lastly, female lead, tiny but fierce. I love her. Played by Holly Hunter. What's that name?
Fuck, Lorraine or some shit? That's two. That's a lot. I just threw a lot on there.
Yep, that's it. From downtown. Is that your final answer?
Lorraine? No, you're right. You're right.
Hang on. I'll speed this up.
Jill? I'm going with Jill. Fuck it. It's Jill.
Wrong.
Final answer. Fuck.
It's Jane Craig.
I got J's. Oh, and Lorraine rhymes with Jane.
Oh, that's what you were doing?
I would like partial credit for a J and a rhyme.
What I don't understand is you finished this movie less than an hour ago.
I know.
And they said the names.
When people introduce themselves to you and they say, hi, I'm Terry. And the entire time you go, remember their name, remember their name, remember their name. But all you're saying to yourself is remember their name and you're not saying Terry. So when they say Terry, you go, hi, friend.
Have you tried repeating it back to the person?
I should start. That's a good strategy. I always thought that comes off like a sociopath. Like whenever I'm like, hi, I'm Garrett. And someone's like, nice to meet you, Garrett. I'm like, nice to meet you, speak and spell. But I will try.
Listen, yeah, you need all the help you can get, okay? So you're 1 for 3 on the most important characters of this very wonderful film. And so we fast forward. They're all adults now, right? And so Jane Craig, she's a talented, very tiny, again, intense news producer in her – her life revolves around her work. And she's at like a news conference. Yeah, she's at a conference. Okay. She's giving a whole speech on how like, yo, the news is dissolving into entertainment bullshit that isn't actually the news. And oh my God, this movie told the future. Yeah. I say that as like, oh, I'm not one of those people. I have mainstream media muted because whenever somebody mm-hmm. says mainstream media, they're probably insufferable. Yeah. But like, yeah, the idea of like, oh, this isn't actually important being the main thing we see all the time, yeah. Whatever. So she's at this conference and she gives a speech about like, you look at how bad the news is getting. Take a look at this. Roll the tape. And the tape is like Japanese news entertainment footage of like a bunch of dominoes and a Rube Goldberg machine and some fireworks.
The best thing you could ever see.
And all these fucking proper anchors are just flapping like seals. Like, we love this. It's like,
This is news here, baby.
And that's why we're all doomed, right? But after her presentation, this guy comes up, played by the late, great William Hurt. And he's like, you know, I didn't understand everything you were saying. Because remember, he's dumb. I didn't understand everything you're saying, but I really liked it. And she's with it. The thing is a mix of, oh, this man's attractive. I don't see it.
So, okay, I'm glad we're talking about this because it's time to start talking about this.
This is where you have a lot to say. Whenever it comes to men's bodies, Garrett has to...
Yeah, I am comfortable with myself. I am a modern male. And you know what I've learned about modern men? They were way fucking better looking than they were in the 80s, 90s, and 70s. Yeah. Like, en masse. Like, I feel like everyone today is like, men used to be men at 19. It's like, kind of. Like, I'm sure these dudes were like 32 and they look like they're 57. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. No one looks good. All their suits are ill-fitting. Everyone's balding. And they didn't really do the, like, makeup, plastic surgery, filler, Botox shit that I'm sure they do on men now. Like, Tom Cruise is probably 85% skin creams at this point. But, like,
yeah. You
know, now it's just, like, some schleb. You know what you kind of remind me of a way worse version of? Is, who's the guy that played Two-Face in The Dark Knight?
Oh, Harvey Dent. What's that actor's real name?
Right? But that guy, like, if we were going to recast this movie.
Aaron Eckhart
is the pretty boy blonde version of this guy.
I see that.
Right?
I see it, yeah.
Casting agents, holla at me.
Aaron Eckhart, he hasn't done a lot recently.
Not really. I also used to think he was like the Crimson Chin version of Viggo Mortensen. Like, it was like same energy. That.
Yeah. Yes. All right, so Jane is hitting it off with this guy who she doesn't really know who he is yet, but I'm sure he's like, oh, hi, I'm Tom. Do you want to get dinner? Both because you liked my speech when nobody else did, and also because I believe that you're handsome, so put that together. I love you. Cool. I'm sure she's just chatting her ear off both about, like, the news and the stuff. Was your family a late-night news family?
No. We were a late-night one. It was like the late show or, like, the late show, but it wouldn't be, like... And now the 10 o'clock news. 10 things in your home that want to strangle you to death, followed by things you can buy to feel better about it. Like, it's like that shit was never, like, it'd be on in the background. We wouldn't, like, sit down
for it. It was never local news for me. I do remember Nick News, Linda Ellerbe. I never really watched it. I was slightly too young for Nick News. And then, like, from once I started knowing what the news was, I'd say for like the past 15 years, my dad watches an average of 15 hours of MSNBC a week. I knew it was Keith Olbermann and it was Chris Hayes and it was Melissa something, and I like Melissa's braids, and it was whatever. So that was the main news. And then CNN, and he would force himself to watch like a little bit of Fox News, but nobody was happy about that. That plus like NPR in the car, which I've told you about. That was such a news. It makes perfect sense. I did journalism in high school.
Yeah, there you go. Meanwhile, yeah. I was probably the right age for that Nick News show, and every time it would come on, it'd be like, "Ah, oh, fuck, Ed and Eddie isn't on anymore. Now we have to watch the news. Who gives a shit about this? I'm going to Cartoon Network. I'm 12 and I'm irate."
I was gonna say you have the wrong networks, because Ed and Eddie was Cartoon Network, and Linda Ellerbee, she was on Nick. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But anywho, you're fine. I nitpick.
That's the most Type A shit I've ever heard in my life.
That is not the most Type A shit you ever heard. I'm correcting you on cartoons here. It evens out.
Fine, fair.
Yes. All right. So Jane gets Tom back to her hotel room. And Tom's talking about like, man, I'm so unqualified. And Jane's just kind of like, yo, give me a back rub. She's like, yeah, you got concerns in life. Come eat this cat. But then he's like, how does it stop, actually? Why do they like... Why did the brakes pump? Because he was like, no, I'm serious, right?
Yeah. Like, actually like, acknowledge my emotions. I'm not just here for this.
Yeah. And she's just like, listen, either you're... Get good was the advice.
Yeah.
Which is fair. Like, I mean...
This movie and, like, some of these other movies we've seen of this era is, like, cuck and hope it works is kind of the main dating strategy. It's, like, become the best friend. Become the chauffeur and then take them to the date and prep them for it and then hope that after the back is blown out that they realize Jesus the error Christ. Of their ways. And it's just like, it just makes me want to die. But like, I get it, but I also get you more on my soapbox. Why you have this like era, a generation after that, maybe it existed before, of like the nice guy stereotype, because you do watch all these movies and it's like, if I'm nice and supportive and we're friends, she'll fuck me. It's like, that's not how friendship works, and it's not really how relationships work. It's actually how neither of these things work.
Because you're thinking about her friend on the other end.
Sorry, I mentally skipped to,
No, I'm seeing what you're saying. Jane tells Tom, all right, you know that you suck at news, but you do the news because you're an anchor. You're an anchor who never understands the news he's reporting on. Yes. Have you considered step one, read the fucking newspaper to learn? And he doesn't have a degree because, you know, it's the 80s and you're a white man, so you'll be fine. But fine, get good is the advice. And he's like, okay. And he leaves. And the Jane's like, fuck, I just talked myself out of some dick. So then she calls her bestie Aaron to complain. I thought Aaron was gay in the first scenes.
Yeah.
And so it's like, talk about somebody. Mind you, I don't know. Garrett, you were just referring to Aaron, talking about somebody who's trying to cuck themselves into some cat. And it's like, that flows well. And it's like, I don't know if he was at this point. He is her friend legitimately.
Yes.
And he himself might not be admitting to himself that he's in love with Jane.
No, that's not true.
No, you think he knows
you from scene one. Come on, you and I are guys. You're friends with a girl.
Yes.
You know if there's chemistry or if you'd have sex with them. And I would also say with women, probably conversely, it'd be the exact same thing. I don't think it would take... It's romantic to say it took years of friendship and then we turned to each other and we just knew, or some magic shit. One of these two people is like, if you would just stop fucking other people and look to your left, we'd all be happy.
Really? Why don't you want world peace, Jane, huh?
Yeah, come on.
Give peace a chance. Yeah, no, as a reformed homie hopper, I acknowledge it's like, oh, are there female friends who I acknowledge I would? Yes. But there's two questions. Like, would you versus, oh, am I secretly pining after you and working towards it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the difference, right? So so Aaron at this point, we don't know if it or I don't I may was he oh I've been in love with you this whole time. You're a grown ass man. Tighten up.
Yeah.
Stand up.
Yeah, say some shit.
Fine, but I love their rapport though. I thought they were great. They were great friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
also sometimes people can be too, I will say that, on the person who isn't secretly in love with the other person, sometimes that conversational chemistry and everything feels like a relationship, but in reality it really is just like someone is like an emotional support to you in the way that, like, I think this line's been said before, but I don't care. And like, a hoodie is comfortable, but like, no one wants to fuck their hoodie. It's like, you're their hoodie.
Damn.
You're comfortable, you're needed, you're a daily essential. You don't get me horny.
Ooh, that was good. You just said something very good, Garrett. Snaps for you.
Snaps for me. Look at that. Yeah. if apes type long enough, they will get Shakespeare.
There you go. So after Aaron and Jane hang up off the phone, because Aaron's like, he must have been very handsome because you wouldn't invite an ugly idiot to your room. It's like, true. Nice. You know, everything else is weighed against hotness. You know, yes. The harder you are, the more bullshit people will put up with generally. Yes. Fine. They hang up off the phone and she gets a phone call again. Oh, it's actually Tom. He's like, by the way, I was hired to be an anchor at your company, to work for you. Essentially, you're kind of my boss, especially because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Anyway, good luck. Sorry, you just tried to fuck me and I kind of walked out on you. Click. Power moves only.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
No, as a guy, turning down sex is one of the most empowering things you can do as a human being, because it's just no one sees it coming.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong. But why not tell her earlier? Because she is your future boss, so embarrassing her is not necessarily ever a smart idea.
Yeah. Sometimes you're addicted to the game. It doesn't even matter if it's a smart idea.
It's such a you problem.
It's the good long-term play. It's a stupid short-term play. Win the war, not the battle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Napoleon. I had to think of a war person. All right. Thanks, so yeah, they work in the Washington D.C. Bureau of a national TV network, and Tom's hired to be a local news anchorman, and he started in sports. Like I said, he's not bright. He lacks news experience. So he's constantly seeking help from Jane to assist him while he's reporting.
Yes.
And she, like, of course, she resents his lack of qualifications.
They prove this later on in the movie, but it's like, I will say some of the, like, first off, I think really successful people are either one of two things, really fucking smart or really fucking stupid, and very rarely in the middle ground. Because if you're in the middle ground, you're intelligent enough to be competent, but also intelligent enough to be too scared to go too high. If you're hyper intelligent, you're just straight up fucking better than everyone. You're going to succeed even if you fall on your ass. You will ass backwards succeed because your worst is probably better than 98% of the human population. Mm. If you're a fucking idiot, but you're really naturally charismatic or good at X thing, you will also skyrocket to the top because you're too fucking stupid to realize that you don't have wings, the emperor is nude, and you're just going out there doing shit. And he's a good example of that, but his soft skills are shit. He says there's one line that's like, you know, the shit I'm, what is it? It's like, the shit I'm bad at, I can learn, and the shit I'm good at, you can't teach. And it's like, that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say, Aaron's character is a corollary to the point you just made. He's too smart for his own good.
Yes.
We'll
get to it. But the reason why he's fucking profusely sweating later in this movie is because he's too hyper aware of everything that could go wrong.
Yeah, he could do for an edible.
He could I don't think so. Because there's also the type of person, if they're too tightly wound, that they'll psychologically analyze their own trip and then they'll have a panic attack and a nervous breakdown. Speaking from experience, can't do weed.
You're not tightly wound.
Internally, there's a lot of like hyper stressed monkeys operating the meat suit of a bro that doesn't have concerns. But if you feed the monkeys weed, the monkeys all start throwing feces into the mechanisms, and then the cogs slow down and the whole fucking meat suit goes to hell.
Garrett, I've known you for now 5-ish years.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be 5 years this summer. Since when I first met you in the summer of 17. Right. And you've been happy. You were happy go lucky. It's like, oh, I don't know you that well. I'm just meeting this guy at work. He's happy go lucky.
Yeah. Can I tell you something though?
What?
The first 18 months that you knew me were some of the worst of my life.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. So to give you credit, you're duck treading water very quickly then. More than the outside world is aware of. Okay. You know, fine, you're right. You know yourself. Aaron and Jane go to, wait, before I do the Aaron and Jane thing, there's, oh, we're in the newsroom. Let's see how the news is made. And they're trying to, they're interviewing this guy who's coming back from war or something. It was 1980s, was this Desert Storm, whatever. Interviewing a man who's coming home. He's like, oh, we're trying to put it together. Because Jack Nicholson, he's over in New York and he does the main thing.
That was such a what the fuck. When I saw him up on, like, because they don't even intro him properly. He's like on a monitor for a minute. And I was like, is he a throwaway guest character in this fucking movie? Are they gonna, what is this?
He took no money for this role.
Wait, why?
Because, just to get it. Because the dude who did, the director, writer, producer of this movie, James L. Brooks, he's got the motherfucking juice.
He does.
Yeah. Yeah. You know Brooks.
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like he would have the sauce.
Yes. The sauce more than the juice. Yeah.
The juice expires. The sauce is forever.
Yeah. The sauce is forever. Yeah. He did Mary Tyler Moore Show, Taxi, The Simpsons. This
broadcast just that news. Alone, you just say The Simpsons, you win.
Yeah, yeah, the Terms of Endearment, yeah, yeah. So, lauded, awarded, great, still alive, thank god. So, like, literally, there's an art. I'm on Wikipedia, right? Everyone who's like, how does Boca know the shit? He doesn't know, Boca doesn't know shit, but
Whoa.
He did Jerry Maguire, oh my god,
Jesus,
and the Tracy Ullman Show. His art, normally, you scroll down and see what awards a person got.
Mm-hmm.
List of awards and nominations received by James L. Brooks is its own Wikipedia page.
Jesus.
Yeah. But in total, eight nominations for Oscars, 3 wins, 6 nominations for Golden Globes, 1 win, 54 nominations for Emmys, 20 wins.
Oof.
Jesus, tap dancing Christ.
Can you imagine having 20 Emmys?
Yeah,
at a certain point, it'd be an inconvenience. Like, if I have 20 of anything, I'm probably looking to downsize.
You know what you gotta do? Melt them all down and make a super Emmy. Then you put the plaques at the bottom. This is the Emmy for ba 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 ba. I have the super Emmy.
I just thought of the most sociopathic shit based off of your idea, which is you don't fully melt them down. You just solder them to each other, and then you make a statue of yourself.
20's not enough for a man statue.
Yeah, well, if you made it like a small, like a 1/5 size.
Okay, you know? We can do that. All right. Oh, so I was going to say, there's the hectic newsroom scene with Joan Cusack. They're trying to do an edit thing. Wait, what's
can your I add Cusack? Her? I want to add her to the list. She's added to my list of people that make me instantly want to take my head, put it in a pantry door, and stop slamming until I'm no longer alive.
Okay, let's analyze that. What, besides this movie, what's making you think that?
No, her essence. Just in everything she's in, if I see Joan Cusack in something, I just instantly go, oh, fuck, it's Joan Cusack. It's up there with Drew Barrymore, where it's just like, you haven't done anything wrong. I'm sure you're a lovely human being. I'm probably a piece of shit for saying this, but it's just, you're in something. Even if you're doing a good job, I want to scream. And then I want to slam my head into a door.
Respectfully, it was never particularly about sex appeal for... No. Junkie.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm not attracted to her. I'm also not attracted to her. But I, on top of that, I also hate her acting, and I hate her when she's in things that I
love. Okay, so that's unfair. That's where you're wrong. She's not a bad actor.
I just hate it's just the delivery. It's the effort. It's like, I don't know. I don't. It's it'd be like if fuck, who's the guy that Adam Sandler pays all of his bills?
Not Steve Buscemi. The guy who says you can do it, Schneider.
Yeah, it was like if Rob Schneider, whenever he's in something, even if he did a great job, you're like,
that is fucking so Rob unfair. Schneider. Joan Cusack is miles ahead of fucking Rob Schneider.
But not in my heart. She's on the list.
Who else is on this list? Do I want to know?
Yeah, she's on this list. The woman whose name I just said, who I forgot the name of already.
Joan Cusack?
No, Joan Cusack, but the other one that I...
Drew Barrymore?
Drew Barrymore is on the list of people that make me feel on the screen. The best friend in every early 2000s rom-com, including...
You don't like her?
Yeah. I think that one's more because she's always in that role. It started to make me hate her. But like, yeah, no, all these people. I just don't... No, it just instantly no. Instantly just turn it off. Just shut it down immediately or skip. Just skip the scene is. Skip it. Make it go away. It can't hurt us if it's gone.
You have a bad opinion every episode. So
well,
that's your right.
People tune in to Skip Bayless every week, even though he's going to say LeBron James is a bum, even if he came out on the court, levitated 10 feet off the ground, cured cancer, and then flew to Mars. So this will be this is my Skip Bayless take.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. Well, I try to think of the name of the woman who's the best friend in all those rom-coms, and I know it, and it's killing me. And when we come back, we're actually going to talk about broadcast news. And we're back. Garrett shared before this commercial break his hatred for Joan Cusack and was completely unfounded. But the whole reason she's coming up is because I want to talk about this one scene, and then we can get on with the movie. Can we do that, Garrett?
Fine, we can do that. I'm still right, though.
Can we be civil?
Yeah, just not to Joan.
Can we respect women, Garrett?
Oh, don't turn this into that.
Okay, so they're trying to put the news piece together, and it's like they're doing this live. Like, New York is talking about Mr. Man, who talking about this story. DC is editing this shit. I'm doing hand puppets. This doesn't help on a podcast. DC is trying to edit the shit to put it all together so that they can like jam it into a thing and radio waves, and then it goes on to television. Nobody in the room understands how the technology works. No. But
I will say, this had to have been what Trump's press briefings were like, because the hand puppets do help.
Yes. So, well, and it's supposed to be like, man, we sure work in a high-octane environment, and Tom's character sure is out of his depths. But the whole time, they're waiting for the editor guy to slap it all together, the Norman Rockwell painting over the thing. First off, nobody in the room's helping. If y'all want him to do this faster, shut up. Yeah. So, like, you got Holly Hunter. She's just going like, Tom, and I are like, guy. And then this only aids your I hate Joan Cusack argument. But what was she doing in that room, man?
Just screaming, having a conniption fit, being the least helpful person, talking about the time. And then also on top of that, it's like, as a news organization, this isn't even a Joan issue. Joan sucked the entire scene. She sucked the air out of the room. It was the direction she was given. She did the best of her ability. Fine, I'll acknowledge it, but fuck her and her character and everything. But on top of that, just as a news organization, if from when you record something and master it to the place it goes for you to play it, shouldn't be a football stadium size gap. It should be maybe next door. Because if you're dealing with an 80-second timeline, and that's like a regular thing, maybe don't make her do the NFL combine to get it there.
Yeah, Garrett can actually edit video and stuff when he puts his mind to it. And so, like, these words he's using here are legitimate and can be trusted. So that's a good point that I hadn't considered.
Validate me on LinkedIn.
Yeah, those things can be closer. But she's, like, moaning in that bitch. She's like, oh. I was like, yo.
Finally, audio I can cut and use as my ringtone.
Okay, I'm sure you'll want that going off during, like, a church service. Fine, she gets the video. She almost hits a kid, and she does like the Matrix, and she gets the tape in. And Jack Nicholson, his character, smiled a little bit, so everyone in DC is like, yeah,
make Jack smile a little bit.
Our parents neglected us. So father figure. Fine, that happens. Cool, we get this sense that, man,
doesn't he call to give them praise, or is this not yet?
Maybe. I think he might call to give Holly Hunter's character praise.
Yeah, but this is a big deal because he's like, he calls and he's like, you know, Holly Hunter's character, Jane, like, Jane, you crushed it. It was great. Your natural instincts to do XYZ thing are fantastic. You're a 10 out of 10. I might need you out here in New York, you know, the Big Apple, the place where careers are made. And she's like, oh, yeah, no, that's dope. But also what's the guy's name?
Aaron. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And also, like, Aaron had the whole idea, and, like, he's great, and, like, we should really give him some praise. And he's like, oh, you just love giving the credit away. Fuck that guy. I bet he's a cuck. And he's like, she's like, well, I mean, he's a cuck, but, like, he could still use some praise. And he's like, hey, you're cute, babe. And then just puts the phone down. And then she's like, oh, yeah, like, he had to read copy or something, so he was in a big hurry because, like, Aaron's kind of, his balls are broken. And then you can just watch the live feed of Jack Nicholson, like, cleaning shit out from underneath his nails, staring at the ceiling, playing with his own balls. Like, it's just, like, anything.
Yeah, it's because Aaron allegedly insulted him at a insulted the hair before, like, off screen, whatever. Aaron and Jane go to Nicaragua to report on Sandinista rebels, and there they get caught up in, like, a shooting battle between them and Contreras and remain unscathed, and bring home footage that also, again, gets Jack Nicholson's positive.
That's what it is. Wait, that is when they call, because he's like, I love the feet shot. And the whole shot was fucking Aaron's whole fucking edit. And then also, that whole scene made me realize, like, you know, again, support the troops, but also support the people that film next to the fucking troops. Because when you are a trained military official with a gun, you can defend yourself. When you're a schmuck with a camcorder, and then the person in front of you is like, right behind us, there are M80s going off by our ears. I'm like, I would be violently, I'd be power shitting in that foxhole.
What is power shitting?
It's like normal shitting, but powerful. Like rip through the back of some Levi's in a third world country going through a civil war of some kind. Power shitting.
Fascinating. So, but it was also important because whilst they were in Nicaragua, the crew was about to film one of the Sandinista rebels putting on boots. And Jay's like, yo, time out. We do not tell you to put on the boots. If you are putting on the boots, then yes, we can film it. However, we do not stage the news. And the guy's just like, well, I need to put on boots. So he gets back to putting on the boots. It was both funny and it matters later. Audience, yes. Remember that for later. Okay. So it's like the day after they get back from Nicaragua, and there's like a brunch party at the boss's place. And we find out that like a Libyan plane bombed a U.S. military base in Italy under Muammar Gaddafi's rule. And so like the network chief is there. And so it's like, Power Rangers assemble, news team activate. Tom, new guy who knows fuck all, but you're pretty. You're going to be the anchor on this. And Aaron's like, I'm right here. I have interviewed Muammar Gaddafi, and I'm fucking competent. Please? Yep, or rather, yep. I don't know if he even advocates for himself, but Jane does, actually.
Yeah.
To her credit. It's the president of the network, and she says, hey, you're wrong to choose Tom. It should be Aaron. And he's just like, this is a very important quote, where it's just like, you know, it's like, so I'm wrong, and you're right. It must be great to be right all the time. And she's just like heartbroken, like, no, actually, it sucks. Because she believes it. And she has convictions. And I don't know if she's wrong ever.
Well, was she wrong, oddly enough, she was wrong. Well, she was wrong in. So he should have, but kind of to the point earlier in the movie, it's like, for news, if you are a trained chimpanzee with a good haircut and who doesn't sweat profusely on live television, you can be a star. Because you can read a prompter. He's great at his job, which is like field research, editing shit together, telling the story, crafting a narrative, being the guy that's writing the fucking prompter. But like, you do put him in front of a camera and young or adult Corey Matthews starts to melt at the seams.
God damn. Yeah, he does look like Ben Savage. Right? So, I mean, with that being his whole thing, shouldn't he just be a producer?
Yeah, well, I think I forget the career he ends up with at the end of the movie, and maybe we'll get there. But like, this did very much seem like one of those things that like the ego tells you to be in front of the camera, but like once you do that, your brain says I might be way more fucking successful not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So fine. So it's like Jane, you're going to executive produce this piece. Pretty Boy Tom, a great rapper name. You're going to be the anchor. Cool. And don't worry, we're just going to have Jane in your ear here's the problem. If you need the executive producer in the anchorman's ear 100% of the time, and you set it up so that the anchor's never left to ask any questions, you're not leaving the producer free to do other shit.
Yeah.
Somebody who can handle the ball themselves, you know? It's like,
fair point.
If you just want to make sure people get this news well, you know, especially because it's important.
Separates good people from goats. Tom Brady, he's beautiful. But also, Bill Belichick gets to coach the rest of the team because he's competent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo is beautiful. But unfortunately, if Kyle Shanahan leaves him alone in the kitchen for more than 5 minutes, he sets the entire kitchen on fire, and then we lose the NFC Championship.
So you admit that Jimmy Garoppolo sucks.
I admit he is absolutely not just a snack, but a full entree, and with the right supporting cast, could win a fucking Super Bowl.
Nonsense.
He's just not a goat.
Okay. So Tom is just shaking his boots, like, okay, I guess I'm going on the news now to report about a U.S. military base being bombed. And Aaron just goes home and is like, I guess I'll drink because nobody needs me. But
you know, back when we used to do the drink of the the episode was like tied to the film. This would have been a good time to do, I believe, is an absolute vodka and the frozen juice that you could that you take out of the freezer to make actual juice.
That might not suck. Yeah, we'll call it Aaron's Tears. But to Aaron's credit, like, he calls into the station because he's interviewed Gaddafi to, like, provide additional context and shit. And so they're cooking. These cats, they're swinging. And they tell that news to the people who happen to be watching the middle of the day Saturday. Now there would be a tweet, but...
Hmm.
Yeah. But C'est la vie, they did good. They did really good. Yeah, and it looked good for Tom, honestly. And so the teamwork also intensifies. See, the rom-com shit's here. You're trying to deny it, but it's here.
No, it does get there. That's my thing is it's not really a rom-com. The first 45 minutes of the movie, they're just a high-intensity newsroom. And I was like, okay, this is it's probably a high quality movie, but it's not a rom-com, and I'm going to be a pain in the ass for the rest of this episode. But then they do, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, there's a little bit Harry Met Sally in here, as far as like the balance, the vibes, the energy. Yeah.
Because Tom, you know, he leaves, he goes to where like Jane is sitting. He grabs like the arms of her chair and is like rocking her back and forth. Like that was like good sex. And she's like, eep. Ruh-roh. And okay, so
if you want to have some, look to your left.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Let's all be happy.
And even earlier at the dinner, at the brunch day party, but like the thing at the boss's house, there's the other news lady who was like, hey, are you Jennifer, I think her name is. She doesn't matter. I'm not testing you. So, hey, are you with Tom outside of work? Because I'd like to see him outside of work. And then like Jane realizes as she's talking to Jennifer, like, wait, I do have feelings for him. Fuck. And then they get pulled away into this whole, hey, we got bombed thing.
Which for a brief moment, because I'm absolute dog shit with names, for some reason, I thought she was talking about Aaron. And I was like, oh, good. She's going to realize she's secretly in love with Aaron. And Aaron was the right guy this early in the movie. And then it'll be about Aaron. And it's like, they're like, right after, I was like, wait, why is the blonde dating the other hot blonde guy? And I was like, oh, wait, no, the pretty people want to fuck each other. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, which is their prerogative, and it's what they're put here to do. But, you know, Bonnie Raitt, great point she made once upon a time. I can't make you love me, you know? Because if Aaron and Jane did like each other, it would be great. I wish she felt it. Maybe she wishes. I don't think she wishes she felt it, but...
No, that could be a thing. I've definitely had that, where it's like, you have a good rapport with someone, and it would be so fucking convenient if that was... If you picked that, but then you go with like a, you know, hotter but maybe toxic cesspool of a human.
As is tradition. So Tom and Jennifer they go on a date, they have sex. We see the shadow of an erect penis, which I didn't know they were allowed to do.
No, that was bold.
Yeah. And so Jane, they go on a date and Jane's not happy about it because she realizes she has feelings for Tom. Hey, we need to send a reporter to Alaska. Is there anyone here we can send to Alaska? We'll send that other bitch. And it's like, oh,
other bitch to Alaska immediately.
Zing, zoink.
But you tell me, if you were in that same situation, you are not taking your work crush and sending their crush to Istanbul if you had to.
Istanbul's better than Alaska.
I just picked a random location on the map.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I get the urge, the desire. Yeah. So. Wanting to complete the story without outside assistance, Tom creates a piece on date rape, which was novel, I think, in 1986.
It was interesting watching that piece, like, from today's lens, because it was like, tonight, rape is bad? And you're just like, oh, what the fuck? And she's like, I went on a date with someone.
Sorry.
And then they didn't stop when I said no. And everyone's like, but they didn't? Like, I was like, holy shit. And she's like, I felt weird talking about this. And everyone's like, has this ever happened before? Like, it's just, even if Aaron's being, not to spoil the whole scene, but at the end, like, Aaron's being pissy because he fucking hates the guy with a purple passion. It's like, oh, great, you broke the case on Nookie. But I'm like, that kind of is probably the general thing. Like, it's a lot different.
In 1987, the phrase date rape was such a new term that he says it weird, you know?
Yeah.
That's rape, you know? And so it's like, okay, like, they're always butting heads on what is news, what is real journalism. He's like, well, this is just about people. You don't write about what happens to one person. It's like, well, first off, date rape doesn't just happen to one person. But still, so they're butting heads on that. Aaron hates the piece because he hates Tom or resents Tom. He's the antithesis to Tom.
Yeah.
But you know, everyone found it affecting. You know, everyone found it interesting. Now, in the face of potential layoffs at their station, it's like, oh no, people are getting dropped. It's like, all right, well, Aaron, I've always wanted to host. I always wanted to anchor, and like, this is a chance to prove my value to the higher ups to help avoid a layoff. And at the same time, the White House Correspondents' Dinner is coming up, and that's always a big thing in D.C. And so Jane is going with Tom, right?
Hmm.
Now, so these two things are happening at the same time. Aaron is going to get his big chance to be in front of the camera on an anchor, and Jane and Tom are going to go on a date, not date. So Aaron needs help. Aaron needs tips. So he turns to Tom because Tom's good at one thing, and that's looking – well, not good at one thing. But his strength is all the soft skills and like looking good.
Yeah.
So he's trying to coach him. And I only bring up this section because apparently the tip is true about like sit. Men listening to this podcast, when you're wearing a jacket, like a sports coat, suit jacket, sit on the hem of it or like sit on the bottom of it so that the shoulders come back so it doesn't bunch up behind your neck. I'm sure you assume you already knew this from your sessions at the ranch or whatever, but.
What are the sessions at the ranch?
I don't know. Did you cotillion with the other young boys of influence and power? We discussed, oh, you go inside out with the forks and such?
Yes, 100%. At the young white children from Napa Illuminati meetings, they would always cover, you sit under your suit jacket. That way you look good at the meetings when you plan the destruction of the rest of the people of the earth.
Yeah. So, but for the rest of us, yeah, that was an interesting tip. And apparently Bill Simmons says it works. I cheated, by the way. The Ringer on their podcast, The Rewatchables, they covered broadcast news. And whenever they do a movie that we do, I try not to listen to it. But
yeah.
I was at the gym and I wanted to listen to a podcast, so I listened. So Bill,
for bit of a whore, but that's fine.
Yeah. Listen, that counted as prep because, you know, they brought up stuff. That's how I knew there was an alternative ending, which we'll discuss. At the end.
Babe, I wasn't having sex with someone else. I was prepping for you. That's how I knew what a G-spot was.
Fuck off. You don't even listen to our podcast.
I mean, it's me. I don't listen to me.
Oh, my God. Okay.
If there's one takeaway you have of this week's podcast. If I don't listen to me, why should you? And back to Boca with the weather.
Okay. Boca, so... Aaron, when he's right going to anchor the weekend news, he writes top-notch quality, and he takes Tom's advice, but the broadcast begins, and like Garrett alluded to earlier, he's like sweating mad. He's buckets dripping.
This is two things. Yeah. I actually forgot one of the Tom was actually kind of dope in coaching him. Like, credit to Tom, if there was going to be a moment where he shined and everyone was like, I kind of get why she wants to fuck this guy, that was that moment. Secondly, there's a reason. This is also a good way of saying, like, Tom's an airhead a little bit, but it's like, that is a skill set that you cannot kind of teach, is both having charisma and being good under pressure. It's a lot like what I would imagine it's like to be a porn star. There's a lot of people that enjoy sexual intercourse. There's few that can get and maintain an erection in full of a room of 20 sweaty dudes holding cameras. It's a skill set. I'm not sure it's highly profitable or valuable, but it is a skill set. Speaking of people that have to do things on camera, Tom is way better at doing that than Aaron, who is sweating profusely. And as someone who, you know, has been known to perspire when stressed, I've had so much fucking empathy for this man. Jesus Christ. He is the Key and Peele meme of, I forgot which one of them sweating, Jordan Peele sweating, times 1,000. It got to the point where I was like, how did they get him to sweat for this? Like, is there a small tube in his hair that's slowly leaking water down his face?
Can you just, like, keep misting him between scenes from top down?
But it, like, keeps, like, you, like, watch it begin. He starts that's dry, acting. And then he gets wet. Again, porn. Some people can't do that on command. He can get wet on command. It's talent.
I wish we had another commercial to cut to, but we don't. So I'm just going to have to power through that god-awful sentence. Jane and Tom are progressing romantically at the White Horse House Correspondents' Dinner. They don't even make it inside.
You said White Horse. I just want to pause. You said White Horse.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner. Okay. And they do not even make it through security because Jane has some Trojans in her purse and they're doing like bag checks. And she's like,
I'm not sure. That shit. Hang on.
Which set? The Trojans?
Because, no. One of the best scenes of the whole fucking movie.
Go ahead.
So like Aaron is ate his balls on the news. He is back at his house. He's in his feelings. She goes over there to like talk to him about, that was after the correspondence dinner, but there is a scene before she goes off where she does talk to him and is like, oh no, like I just got all gussied up because I'm going to go to this like news thing for work, but like, I'm not going to fuck Tom. And then she, in front of him, reaches for condoms and puts them in her purse.
It's behind her. He doesn't see the condoms.
Arguable. All I know is I would rather a girl that I love to pieces have unprotected sex with a stranger and I not know about it than watch her grab the condoms in front of me knowing that they will be used. Boca, there's your Sophie's Choice pick.
Despite the crass, selfishly, I see what you're saying. If I get into the full logistics, like, oh, you'd want somebody to be safe, but like, yeah, no, ignorance is fucking bliss, bro. Ugh. Yeah. Fine. So they White House Correspondents' Dinner. They don't make it inside. They have moments like, do they make out outside? Do they have their?
Yeah. They like kiss outside, and then he's like, you know, all that energy and high octane nature of you in the newsroom has me thinking what it'd like to be inside of all of that energy. And she's like, what the fuck? And it's like, I mean, you're kind of into him. He thought it was a line. It wasn't the greatest.
And she had no problem with that line, I thought.
I don't know. She got all like hyped up about it. And then he was like, I mean, I didn't mean it. And she's like, I think you meant it. Like, they kind of do a back and forth about it, but it's just like, we could have found a smoother. You remind me of that bunny from the Duracell ads. I've always wanted to fuck that bunny. Like, I don't know. It was just weird.
Oh, my God. So, fine. But somehow she's like, wait, I need to go back and check in on Aaron to hear how it went or whatever.
That was a weird moment. That's just one of those moments where it's like, I'm glad for cell phones. Like, I could text someone and be like, hey, how'd it go? It's like, hey, I need to go take a cab now. I'll see you in an hour because I need to go physically travel to go see how X's person's thing went.
Yeah. Or rather, I think she at least picked up the phone and then knew, oh, I need to come over there, right? Yeah. Because it was a train wreck. Like, yeah, the copy was good, but you sweat like a pig and it was awful. And he gets there, or she gets there, and they get into it. It was an ugly argument.
That was great. That was the best scene in the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like, yeah, in fact, walk us through.
Okay. Now that I said that, I'm not going to know the play. You know what? If we were an NFL commentating team, you're play-by-play and I'll be color commentary. But you know what? Let's try a play-by-play. So she gets in the thing and it's like, he's like, oh no, it's like fucking like horrible. I ate my balls. I sweat the entire fucking time.
Stop covering your mouth.
Oh, sorry. I keep biting my thumbnail.
Yeah.
That'll be good for the audio. All I did was sweat the entire fucking time. I probably ruined my career. She's like, we were like super like mellow about it. He's like, yeah, no, I mean, after you like eat your balls on television for long enough, you start to internally laugh because your life is a living hell and it can't get any worse. And I was like, you know what? I've been there and done that. And there's sometimes you can eat your balls through to the other side, like in a presentation or something. Like there are moments when you're like, the world's closing in. I'm blacking out. I'm sweating profusely. Everyone knows I'm a fraud. This is the part where I wake up. And then you don't, and you just keep rolling with it, but you don't acknowledge that you suck ass. And then people think it's confidence when it's a nervous breakdown in disguise. So then she's talking about her like dinner thing and him and the whole whatever. And then at some point pops out with like, I think I love Tom. And
did you say love?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
And then he's just like, I will say the acting in this movie was very good. This delivery was too weird for me. Like he's like, get the fuck out, get the fuck out, what do you mean you like Tom? Wait, no. And then instantly like a psychopath, wait, no, I overreacted, we should talk this one out, like with those changes in volume and tone.
I don't want to make this dark and upsetting, but right. I was legitimately worried for her character's safety.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, but especially because I thought, I was like, wait a second, this movie just did a piece about date rape, and this is I seriously was, I was tense. I was legitimately tense because I was like, oh God, is this going to go to like an extremely unfun direction? I'm going to regret choosing this for a fun podcast. Thankfully, it didn't go there. But he's like, he's upset. He's angry. He's like, man, I both ate shit on my dream and possibly facing layoffs, and am watching my best friend who I'm in love with go fuck somebody who I don't like or respect.
Yeah, that, which again, like, I the way that they shift between him getting mad and then trying to be level-headed is just, I think it's just written or directed, like, psychotically split. But that is, at least from my point of view, like, yeah, no, in that situation, like, that level of, like, go fuck yourself anger, they're really good at. And they also do another great thing in this movie where they'll just hold on a scene where both parties just look at each other. And it's like, oh, cool. Like, they're you know, sizing each other up through their eyes or, like, doing something. And it actually feels like that. It doesn't just feel like two people taking an awkward pause. Like, they do... I'm now at least on a tirade, but I will end here in a second. But it's like, they always say, like, in blues or jazz, like, the most important notes are the shit you don't play. Like, this movie does a great job of not playing a lot of the lines it could have said, and it just uses, like, stairs.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had, speaking of blues or jazz, Aaron has a solo here. And I'll go ahead and fucking read it, because it's in front of me, and I have a computer. Thanks, Bill Gates. Aaron. I know you care about him. I've never seen you like this about anyone, so please don't get me wrong when I tell you that Tom, while being a very nice guy, is the devil.
Yeah.
And Jane, she's like, this isn't friendship. You're crazy, you know that? He's like, what do you think the devil's going to look like if he came around, right? Nobody's going to be taken in by a guy with long, red, pointy tail. What's he going to sound like? You know, I'm semi-serious here. He will be attractive. He'll be nice and helpful. He'll get a job where he influences a great God-fearing nation. He'll never do an evil thing. He'll never deliberately hurt a living thing. He will just bit by little bit lower our standards where they are important. Just a tiny little bit. Just coax along, flash over substance, just a tiny little bit. And he'll talk about all of us being really big salesmen. And he'll get all the great women.
The devil fucks. I just had to say that just to watch Boca do all of that and then be unhappy.
I deserve better, Garrett. I want you to know that.
So you're telling me if all I do is lower everyone's standards slightly, I can fuck them?
No, for those with the subtext, Garrett's the devil.
It's such a good. It's such a good line. It's such a. Yeah. It's a great speech. And they're like the "I love you." I buried the lead. Oh, fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
Just
because this is when he admits it. Did he admit it earlier? Did it come up earlier?
No. After the, I actually got lost in you reading it because it's that great. And I forgot if you read this portion, but it's the part where he's like, and very well, this could all be because I had the worst. Does that, do you already read this? Like, this is
no, I didn't say the worst.
But, okay. This could honestly be because I had the worst day of my life and like, I hate him and he helped coach me for that. So if it went well, then maybe I'd be singing his fucking praises, which is very true. But like, I'm in love with you. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, and then, you know, who would have thought about that? I buried the lead. And I was like, oh shit. Oh, shit. Write his face. This is when she writes his face. And then she didn't write his face.
She was not going to write his face.
Well, you could hope. I was with Aaron. I was like, hey, maybe this is it, Corey. Maybe you're going to bang a Topanga. By the way, second time in the podcast this season, I've said bang a Topanga, bringing it around.
What was the first time? Do you remember?
It was the, I think it was the Romy and Michelle episode. Or maybe it was the one before that. It was quoted back to me later on by someone.
Funny. So Jane leaves unhappy with Aaron, which makes perfect sense.
Yes.
And then she doesn't fuck him, and she doesn't go back to fuck Tom. I think she's like, I need to go home now.
No one. Well, no, because he, like, they talk. This is even weirder. This is so fucking much
weirder. He calls, right?
Yeah, he calls and he's like, hey, like, I thought I was going to put my penis in that Energizer Bunny. And she's like, yeah, I went over to Aaron's and he had a rough night because it didn't go well. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, he's a cuck. He sweated and everyone saw it and we all think he has a small penis. And she's like, well, no, don't tell him that. And she's like, don't worry, Tom says that you have a big penis and you were fine, huh? And then
why is she goofy?
The Mickey Mouse.
Oh.
And then he like runs up and he's like, oh, Tom, do you think I have a normal sized penis? And Tom's like, oh, it's totally normal. People weren't laughing at it at all. And he's like, oh, gee willikers. And then they both agree. Like, she gets back on the phone, which is just such a weird moment to have this whole breakdown where you confess your love to this woman and like all this shit that we just went through. And then you do like run to the phone to see if Pretty Boy thinks that you have, are a competent man, does kind of undermine everything you just fucking said. But they decide not to fuck and fuck some other time.
The fact that Aaron didn't kill himself is a testament to perhaps the endurance of the human spirit. Because
God, do we approach topics differently. Hey, Aaron should have been a fucking man and not talk to Tom. And you're like, well, he didn't kill himself.
You look at his day and the amount of alcohol he's consumed.
Okay.
And the fact it's 1987, so he owns a gun thanks to Ronald Reagan's Every White Man Gets a Gun program.
It did hand those out. I was 2 years, born 2 years too late for getting my at-birth gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could have been a cult. But anyway, so kudos to him for not killing himself, because it was on the table, you know?
Yeah, not the gun, but killing yourself.
Yeah. So all this happens in a very tumultuous night. Blame the White House correspondence dinner. And the layoffs come to hit the office in the coming weeks. Yes. Yes. Many colleagues lose their jobs. Joan Cusack has the best line to Holly Hunter's character. It's like, aside from socially, you're my role model.
Because
Holly Hunter's character, Jane's just all work. And she's great at her job. But like, Christ. By the way, tangent, stop. Her character is just crying throughout this movie. Like, yes. Randomly when nobody's around, and like she'll,
yes,
and like, yes,
well, she's crying over Tom.
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
because she, like, the girl is like, can I date Tom? I thought you cared about Tom, and she's like, yeah, you can date Tom. And then, like, has that weird realization and goes to the dock and cries. And
she cries more than once, she cries very beginning before she knows Tom.
Oh, okay, then maybe that's how she deals with her emotions. I just thought she kept crying about Tom, and I kept being like, girl, come on, he's not that great.
Yeah, and plus he likes her, so she doesn't even need to cry about him. Yeah, so it's like she was just crying randomly throughout the film, and I had to ask somebody, like, hey, how often do you cry? Because I'm an emotional, melancholy person, but I don't cry. And so I was like, I don't know, is this normal? Whatever.
A good cry. A good cry is like an emotional BM, you know? You dump it, and then you just flush
bowel
it,
movement.
And you get it out.
How many times a year do you think you cry?
Oh, it depends on the year. I'd say the last 6 months, probably like 9 times.
Am I a psychopath?
No, but the chimps operate the meat suit well.
Fair, yeah. So the layoffs come, hit the office, and Joan Cusack's fired, and John Cusack made a cameo, but we don't see his face. And Jane is getting promoted to, I think, just executive producer. Tom is being moved to the London office, which is like for their company's kind of the track to be like the next big man after Jack mm-hmm. Nicholson's character. And then Aaron, they weren't going to lay him off. They're like, you know what, your salary's in line and we can slot you in anywhere. And he's like, you know what, fuck this, I'm out, I'm done. I've been,
it's honestly good for him, have some respect.
Yeah, he's been cucked so fucking hard.
And also, they do have a great scene where Jack Nicholson is like touring the newsroom before they're going to behead everyone in public square. And then the like head of the, I don't know, the one of the big wigs is like, well, I mean, if you took $1 million less in salary every year, we could definitely keep a lot more of them. And there's like an awkward pause. And then it's just like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that at all.
I'm so sorry. You're so sorry. Great. So sorry,
honestly, we should pay you more money. Do you want to drink their blood?
Yeah, it's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, but it was funny. It was funny. And like, after one of the exit interviews, the guy's like, well, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. The guy's like, well, I hope you die soon.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah. And so that's that. And so after Aaron tenders his resignation, he plans to go find a job in Portland. But before he leaves, you know, and earlier in the movie, Aaron asked Tom, yo, how many people did you have on set or in the mix for how many cameras did you have for when you were filming your date rape piece? He's like, oh, just the one. And when they shot it and when we saw it, Tom sheds a tear. It's like, oh, you only had one camera, but we saw you shed a tear. So he tells Jane's like, go back and watch the footage again. If they only had one camera, it was on her, it was on the victim the whole time. They had to stop and reset the camera just to catch Tom crying. That's bullshit. That's bad journalism. Yeah. And I was like, mind you, he asked that question like 25 minutes earlier in the movie. So I was like, oh, this is good. Y'all just did it.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. You just did a Keyser Soze on me. So mind you, not Aaron and Tom. They're not about to go away together. But
that would have been the twist no one saw coming.
Nobody.
Who's the power bottom? I think it is Aaron.
So Jane and Tom were supposed to go away together, just like on vacation in between all this insanity. And it's at the airport where he meets her, where they meet, and Jane calls him out on all this.
Yes.
And
The 90s loved an airport. They loved an airport because it's like, we're going to, you know, do the runaway together thing. They always have to shoot it. Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, yeah, that was also, wait, hang on. This might be a 9/11 thing. Let's find out. Do your thing and then I'll do my 9/11 thing.
You want to rephrase it?
Tell them about the scene and then I'll ask about a part of infrastructures in airports that I'm not sure if was ever a thing or if I'm not even ill-traveled.
There you go. So, They link up at the airport and he's like, I watched the footage again. And Jane's mad. And Tom's like, wait, why are you mad? I don't know what happened. We're about to go on vacation. You reshot the thing to catch your tear. And Tom is such a not journalist that he's not even defensive or whatever. He's just gobsmacked. Like, wait, you care? This is what's stopping you from going on vacation with me to Tahiti or wherever the fuck?
Yeah.
He's almost like, you know what? Fuck this. Fuck you. But he's like, what? Come on. What? All right, so what were you going to say?
So then his little ass is like, oh, man, okay, whatever. We're not going to fucking Bora Bora. So he like does this slow, sad walk and they take his ticket. And then he gets into a little room that's on a huge like cherry picker, essentially, that then backs out of the side of the building and then drives the little room presumably to the plane. Then I was like, I know the little stairwell they bring out to the airport. And then there's just boarding the fucking plane. But the little room that then they drive to the little thing, like, have you been in the little room? Is the little room a 9/11 takeaway? Did they get rid of the little room? Were sleeper cell agents killing us with the little room?
Which of those should I respond to first?
In the order they were asked.
You know, I can't remember.
I know. But what happened to the little room?
Do you remember this? Do I remember the little room? No. My first plane flight wasn't until it was pre-9/11, but still don't remember. I don't think it seems inefficient. It seems expensive. It seems like it's a waste of fuel to have like a cherry picker move people into the plane versus
a seater. It seemed like one of those, you know, I'll get off this. I swear to God.
Can we please?
I know. You know, the prequels in Star Wars when everything's way more technologically advanced than the older movies because we just had the CGI to do it. And then you watch the older movies and you're like, wait, why did the technology get fucking worse? It's this moment. I'm like, wow, that was really fucking cool. And now it's gone. But I live in the future and you lived in the past. So what the fucking George Lucas is going on? I want my money back.
The more we think about Star Wars, the further away we stray from God, Garrett. If there's anything I learned working on Lucasfilm projects, it's don't. Fine. So that happens. And then, so they split up, right? Tom argues, he relents, he lets Jane, he goes on his vacation. He leaves Jane behind. So the three meet 7 years later. Tom's taken over as national anchorman. Aaron has a wife and a child. We don't meet the wife. Very much would like to meet the wife. I hope she's just fucking gorgeous. I hope it's peak Sandra Bullock. He deserves happiness.
Yeah.
And Jane reveals she's planning to take a managing editor role for the network in New York, working with Tom again. And Tom has a fiance. And she seems very vapid, respectfully. I think that's what they're trying to convey. No disrespect to the actress. So Tom leaves after Jane declines a dinner invitation with him. She and Aaron sit on a bench and catch up on their lives. That's how it ended.
Yes.
Can
I make one remark, and it might be because I wasn't paying attention?
It happens.
I wasn't sure if they did this intelligently or if I looked at my phone for an Instagram for 3 seconds. But the whole time I'm like, Aaron and Jane got together and they made a person. And then when they all sit down to catch up, he's like, oh, yeah, my wife, like, you would like her or something, and she's great, and I have a wife, and it's not you, and we've established now that I have a wife that's not you. I was like, oh, fuck, twist. They set that up well. They pulled the rug out from under me. They didn't end up together. Wow. Was that your experience, or did earlier in the thing, they're like, no, I didn't end up with Jane at all. I don't even know who she is.
It was clearly obvious that he didn't end up with Jane.
Fuck, I missed that part then. But it would have been way better if they had dug the rug pull that I experienced thanks to Instagram.
And it's negative consequences of watching this movie broken up over, 2 weeks. Okay. All right, but let's talk about the alternate ending, which I sent you right before this.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, it was supposed to be improvised. Holly Hunter wasn't supposed to know, except I think she had somebody said William Hurt's name out loud, so she knew he was coming. It's like, oh, fuck, it fucked up the scene. But that's where he said that line that you said earlier. That was the best thing that William Hurt's character, that Tom ever said in defense of himself. It's like, the things I'm bad at, I can be taught, and the things I'm great at, nobody can teach. Yes. And then they made out in the car for 2 minutes. Because it was improv. It's like, it's easier to make out than to speak. That's a yearbook quote.
Yeah.
My high school only let the top 10 GPAs get yearbook quotes for senior year. So I didn't get a yearbook quote. And you know me, I'm full of quotes. So I was like, I've been thinking about that for almost a decade.
Jesus Christ. Also, why were they so stingy with the quotes?
Maybe it was a space thing, except our yearbook was thick as shit. So
I was going to say, ours was dummy thin because I went to a small school. Well, I only had 400. Anyway, it's beside the point. I got a quote. You didn't get a quote. Suck my dick. So anyway, Boca. The alternate ending. The acting was dope. He had the best line. His character was gonna have the whole movie. But it kind of did shard on the whole thing because it's like no one's rooting for him. It would have gone against all for morals.
He is the devil.
Yeah. He's not. They don't really make him do anything bad. That you're like, this is unforgivable. It is just kind of like, don't do this.
Let me reframe. He is almost like the son of Satan. Did Jesus know he was the son of God immediately? Well, actually, he kind of did. He was from a young age. He was with the shits. But this idea of like, oh, whoever the son of Satan is, like, do they know that they're like, oh, I'm fucking Lucifer's spawn? You know, it's just like he embodies just like the how more and more we come to expect less and less from each other. He's like, but he's pretty. It's like, is it so bad to want a news anchor?
Direct bloodline to the devil might be a slight overreach, but I get the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's the film.
He's a schmuck, and we're glad he's not with him.
Jane is with neither of them. Jane is not with Tom nor Aaron, but she's about to be working with Tom again. But whatever, he's engaged. And that's the end of the film. I was about to say it was great. I've been trying to give it away, but obviously we think it was great. Garrett, who did you love?
Okay, so let's go with non. I did audibly laugh when the dude was like, if you took $1 million less a year, and then just this little tiny, just dick eating speech where he tries to take it back really did get me. Yeah. Who else? If I was going to be Charlemagne the God, I'd give John Cusack Donkey of the Day.
You're not ever going to be at risk of being Charlemagne the God.
That's the highest piece of praise you've ever given me.
Maybe.
That's all I got. I like the old guy.
You didn't love Jane.
Oh, well, okay. Typically we go off main cast. Like, I like the three.
You're allowed to pick a main character.
Okay. I like the three. They all did very well. Were very competent with their roles. I would have liked to have seen the Aaron guy in just more things. Like, I was like, he was good at this. This kind of felt like, and again, pull up the thing here, but it kind of felt like he did his Anchorman thing in this movie, and they were like, let's see if he's a lead. And then he did it, and they're like, fuck him. Like, I never really saw him anything after this.
No, Albert Brooks, he was in Simpsons. He was for 1990 to 2021. He's had characters in The Simpsons. Secret Life of Pets, Finding Dory. This is 40, which we'll discuss later this season. Drive, which I already mentioned. Oh, yeah, he's the voice of Marlin in Finding Nemo.
So he just did voice acting.
No, not only. All right, so hit the top of his IMDb, right?
Okay.
Defending Your Life, Drive, Broadcast News, and Lost in America. So bigger stuff from 80s to 90s.
Then they said, no one wants to ride your face. We've done the polling. Your face is meant for audio. They fucking Aaron'd him.
Yeah.
Aaron deserved better.
Yeah. See, I don't... Aaron, like I said, Aaron's character scared me at some points. but like I empathize so deeply with his character. Damn. You know, so I really like, and honestly, shout out Paige, we had on the podcast for, I don't even remember which episode now. But she told me, Holly Hunter is on my short list of white women. And I said, no, Holly Hunter is on my list of short white women.
Oh, wow. That was pretty funny.
But I love Holly Hunter. She's, cause I said this back when we did, the Camille Nanjiani one, the Big Sick.
Oh yeah.
Cause she's the mom there. She's, I don't know. I love tiny blonde women. So I love Holly Hunter. Tom is the devil. Like not malicious, but he is the devil. Yeah. And Aaron, a lot of empathy, and I hope he can find peace.
What do you give this time? 1 to 10? Oh wait, do they last? No one fucked each other, and no one got together. So yeah. Everyone lasts with whoever the fuck they end up with. Let's give everyone a happy ending.
Yeah, because when this movie ends, Tom is engaged to a character we presume is supposed to be vapid. Aaron has a child that looks exactly like him. They got the best child actor possible.
Yep.
Was it actually a Savage kid?
No, but that would be a great crossover.
I don't think they would have lined up right. Fred might have been old enough. No, yeah. The Ben Savage was definitely the right age. They could have gotten Ben Savage, but they didn't. Maybe it's too expensive. And Jane, she's seen somebody for 3 months at this time. It's whatever. Who knows? We don't see the person. Doesn't matter. What do I rate this movie?
Yes.
Your rating might be a little bit higher than mine. I did think it was marginally too long.
Yeah, whenever we do these and it's like, that's, again, Harry Met Sally's goated for several reasons, but they accomplish everything in like an hour 35. When you get in the 2-hour-ish plus time, I'm like, we're smelling our own farts on some of these scenes. We could have tightened it, but it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I give it overall like a 7.5, and I liked it a lot.
Wow.
7.75. What'd you give
it? I would give it an 8.5.
Give it the 8.5. You're allowed to
give it. I know, I'm going to give it the 8.5. I just thought you were going to. I thought this was like a DeBoca pick. He likes it. He assumes I'd hate it. You know, he thought I was going to go Paul Blart with it. No, 8.5.
I'll bump up to an 8 because I'm being dumb.
There you go. Boca loves bumps. Hashtag Boca loves bumps.
What is that? What's the innuendo there? Cocaine or boobs?
It's cocaine.
Okay. that's a film. We've talked for far too long. Thank you, everyone, for sticking around. We're going to go on hiatus next week. And when we come back, we're going to do This is 40.
Yay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.